about 100 meters per second? Same time. 1/100th of a second. These are very slow. Here's the electron micrograph showing an axon, another axon, and then the quad cell. The quad cell is the darker stuff. There's the axolemma. Axolemma. There's a neurolemma up there. I don't think you've looked enough with the electron microscope to know. The key issue here about whether this is an axon or not is, are these microtubules that are cut in cross-section that are everywhere in the axon, these little circular objects right there, are going to tell the experienced person that's been looking at this a lot that that's an axon. Our nerve fibers, how are they arranged? In the femoral nerve, in the sciatic nerve. Well, like muscle, we have three connective tissue sheaths to deal with. Epineurium, analogous to epimysium. Perineurium, analogous to perinesium. And, of course, endoneurium is exactly the same stuff as endomysium. Perineurium is a little different here. We don't really know how to classify perineurium because it has the cells that make it up have their own basal element. So this is a mystery of life. What is a perineurial cell? No one knows what it is. We know what it does. It wraps up nerve fibers to make fascicles. What do you think the contents of the endoneurium might be in the femoral nerve? Let me ask it another way. What do you think are found in the endomysium of muscle? What would be found in the endomysium around every single muscle cell?
Collagen.
Collagen fibers? Fibroblasts? How are we going to supply blood to the nerve fibers? Blood vessels? And the connective tissue is what distributes blood vessels around. What does the endoneurium make contact with? It's loose connective tissue, and it makes contact with the basal lamina of the nerve fiber. I'll have the picture here in a minute. What's found within the nerve fascicle? Well, the nerve fibers and the endoneurium. Similarities to a muscle fascicle? Yes. Very analogous. So here's the end result. There's the spinal cord showing one sensory nerve fiber and one motor nerve fiber passing through the sciatic nerve here. But alongside the sensory nerve fiber and alongside the motor nerve fiber are hundreds of other nerve fibers, either motor or sensory. Could be either one. And each nerve fiber is held in place. Each nerve fiber is held in place by endoneurium, found in and around every nerve fiber, and would be the whitish stuff. Perineurium slaps a bunch of them together in a bundle, called the fascicle, and then the epineurium is found around the outside, plus it also goes in here. This perineurium is a fascinating layer. It's much more like an epithelium, because it's a pipe all its own. And an example of that is if your skin were happened to make contact with a rusty barbed wire fence and break down near the ground, in that ground are bugs that can cause tetanus. And this toxin from the tetanus starts to migrate up the nerves and gets housed in this perineurial sleeve. And that tetanus toxin from my skin is conducted right up to the central nervous system through this perineural tube, because it acts like an epithelium, even though we don't know what it is. And here's what you might have seen in a good preparation in lab. The epineurium are on the outside. The perineurium and epineurium touch here. Perineurium is this layer here. And the perineurium here touches the epineurium there. Here's epineurium. There's an epineurium there. The perineurium is like a sleeve on my arm. It seems to be totally intact. Unlike the perineusium, which is loose connective tissue, or maybe dense connective tissue. Perineurium is a layer of cells, so it's different than perineusium. This is one fascicle, and look at the lifesavers up there. Axons are the dark dots, and the myelin is white and empty. Axons are the dark dots, and the myelin looks like it's not there. Except maybe it's a little tattered and torn some places. Here's the neurolemma. There's the neurolemma. And the axolemma is not seen. Fibroblasts in the endoneurium. Capillaries in the endoneurium. Again, capillaries in the endoneurium. And that's what the femoral nerve might look like from the leg of your cadaver, or yourself, if that's better. Last, yeah. Endoneurium is loose connective tissue. Epineurium and epimedium are all the same. Epineurium is dense, greater connective tissue. Just like periosteum. Like perichondria, go back and look at your aspect, your dense, your regular connective tissue. I think the slides you looked at were the dermis of the skin, but epineurium, epimysium, periosteum, perichondria, it's all dense tissue, dense, your regular connective tissue. Neuroglial cells are the other neural cells, but they are not neurons. They do not conduct action potential. They are sometimes called the supporting cells for the neuron. They are concentrated in high numbers inside the brain's spinal cord. There are probably anywhere between 10 times or 100 times, no one knows for sure, 10 times or 100 times more neuroglial cells in our brain than there are neurons. Vastly more of the supporting cells. Why do we need so many supporting cells in the brain and spinal cord? They have a function for nutrient exchange, but even simpler than that, why do we have to have supporting cells in the brain and spinal cord in such vast array of numbers?
Brain barrier.
That's part of the function of the blood-brain barrier, that's right, but that's not the answer. Why do we have to have in the brain some connecting, supporting cells? Because there's no connective tissue in the brain. And so these cells replace the absence of collagen fibers. And the supporting tissue in the brain is cellular, not extracellular, like everywhere else. There are many, many, these are the category of tissue. This is neural tissue, but it's not neurons. There are different types. Astrocytes. Astrocytes form, I heard it, the blood-brain barrier. And they help maintain the proper microenvironment for the neuron. I kind of think of them as nurse cells. They're the groupies that hang around a rock star. They are the cells that maintain the proper amounts of neurotransmitter in the brain. We'll talk about that in neuroscience. They are located in both gray matter and white matter throughout the brain and spinal cord. They form the blood-brain barrier. They take up neurotransmitter released by neurons and process it and hand it back to the neurons to use. Neurons are elite, aren't they? They're like the aristocracy in Europe a long time ago. They had maids and butlers, and these maids and butlers are astrocytes. What do oligodendrocytes do in the central nervous system? Make myelin. Where are oligodendrocytes found? Well, mostly in the white matter, because that's where the axons are. What's the disease of oligodendrocytes? Multiple sclerosis. Another type of neuroglial cell is a macrophage in the brain. So what would this cell be doing in the brain if it were a macrophage?
Eating
something. Eating dead cells. So go into your closet, pick up a pint of vodka, and drink it down in 30 seconds. You'll have plenty of microglial cells at work in your brain. And in West Virginia, I threw this in because I lived a lot of my life in West Virginia. They were called Kidder cells.
Computer.
Computer
done. Getter cells. They went out to get dead tissue, macrophages. They are derived from blood monocytes. Just like every other macrophage. Here are some of them. Astrocytes, beautiful. You have a slide in your collection that shows these elegant starbursts. Why are they called astrocytes? They look like stars. Starbursts. If a person has encephalitis, which is a brain infection, then these cells are being affected. They arise from blood monocytes, like all macrophages do. Here's that little microglial cell that looks tiny. It doesn't look much like a macrophage. Here's the astrocyte, and it wraps around blood vessels to help form the blood-brain barrier. And it helps to connect the different parts, much like collagen fibers, except there's no collagen in the brain. Here's an astrocyte like a slide in your collection. We didn't ask you. Well, maybe on Friday. Maybe Mark Marston had you look at some of those.
That's cool. Astrocytes.
So here's a cartoon, you might say, of different glial cells suggesting different function. For example, here's a nerve fiber from a neuron. There's an oligodendrocyte making myelin. Here's an astrocyte wrapping around capillaries, making the blood-brain barrier. And then there's a bunch of other things. This particular drawing we will encounter in neuroscience class in the first week, and we'll go through this thoroughly and identify functions for each one of these cells. Right now, just bare bones kind of stuff that we talked about as we're going through here. There's the oligodendrocyte. Notice the difference of how Schwann cells and oligodendrocytes work. In the peripheral nervous system, a Schwann cell only myelinates on one axon. But in the central nervous system, a single oligodendrocyte may have arms reaching out to multiple axons and myelinate multiple. Let me say that again. In the peripheral nervous system, a single Schwann cell only makes myelin for one neuron, one axon, but oligodendrocytes are much more versatile. We have connective tissue on the outside of the brain and spinal cord, and these connective tissue layers are called meninges. and they are sometimes considered to be neural tissue, but that's inaccurate because meninges are connective tissue. And their function, of course, is to provide protection for the brain and spinal cord. And these are the bone, of course. And here they are. Duramater, the arachnoid, and the pia mater. And dura mater, of course, means tough mother. And it's the toughest, densest connective tissue inside the cranial cavity, and it's right next to the bone up here. This dura mater we'll see in the cadaver when you get into the head and the spring forward. We'll see it in neuroscience class. It is so tough that they can make heart valves out of dura mater. And maybe from cows, usually. But that works. What does the arachnoid look like? Do you think? Spider web. And the pia mater is a little thin, loose connective tissue. Dura mater is dense. Irregular connective tissue. Pia mater is a realer, loose connective tissue. And arachnoid is one of those things we know what it is. Okay, so that's it. We're done.
I can email that to
you. No questions, no questions on the midterm on this one.
What?
No questions on the midterm.